Kia ora, you're with The House and I'm Johnny Blades. The written question from an opposition MP to a minister is a commonly used tool in Parliament, but one we don't often hear about. It's not as well known as the oral question, which is broadcast and live-streamed each question time, resplendent in its theatrical glory and forms the basis for many a news story. No, written questions exist somewhat in the shadow of their oral cousins. We can find them published in the back pages of Parliament's website, both question and, when it's finally given, the answer alongside it too. Here's opposition MP Jenny Anderson of the Labour Party to explain what a written question is.
It's a great tool to hold the government to account, and one of the benefits of written parliamentary questions is that there's no limit to how many a member of parliament can lodge.
So, as a member who's lodging written questions, what are you looking for?
You look for a range of different sources. It might be a report in the media, it could be a statement the minister's made, it may be something they've even said in an oral question that you'd like to drill down a bit further and get some additional information. It's really important it's based on fact, and you need to verify where you've got your source from.
I mean, it's not necessarily a fishing expedition.
It can be. It can be. You usually have a general direction that you think you're wanting to head in. You think there's something in there that might be within the public interest to interrogate further. And so you're trying to understand as much as possible about a particular pathway that the government's going down.
So do you look at them as a kind of a part of a set with the oral question process?
So the three main tools would be the Official Information Act and putting a request through that way. And then once you've got a pile of information from the OIA, then you would look further with written parliamentary questions. And then when you've got an area you think is of high interest in the public interest to hold the government to account, that would be when you put up an oral parliamentary question.
Generally, do you find that you get adequate answers, or is it a bit of a game again?
I think there's a general tendency when a government first comes in, they are not so open with giving out information. I've had a lot of answers to my written parliamentary questions in police saying that they're not within the public interest, so they're not answering those, and so that can be frustrating, that there'll be areas that you're wanting to ask around, for example, police pay, areas that are potentially sensitive to the government, and they may not want to be forthcoming with that information.
And you can challenge that, can't you? You can refer that with the Speaker?
That's right. The Speaker acts as a referee in those instances, and you have the opportunity of going to the Speaker and checking in to see if that's a fair use of using that role of not within the public interest.
Mm. But the Speaker will tend to say, well, it's up to the Minister to decide on that point.
That's exactly right. So you need to be using all of those different avenues to get the information you need. And it is really difficult for opposition when you're trying to look for information and the government doesn't want to provide those answers.
National MP Matt Doocy is a government minister with multiple portfolios. He's also been an opposition MP lodging questions. He says written questions help strengthen our democratic system.
And equally, we see in Parliament with written parliamentary questions, the ability for the executive or the cabinet, who are very powerful because they are making laws of the land and deciding budgetary decisions, that any member of opposition can write a written parliamentary question to a minister about a specific issue, and that needs to be responded in a timely fashion.
6 days, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that brings real transparency, real openness. It requires ministers to be very clear about what's happening, and I think builds trust in the democratic system and in Parliament as a whole. And I think people are at times critical of the adversarial approach we have in the Westminster parliamentary system, but I think it's quite right that anyone who is making a decision should be expected to stand up and defend that position, and that's what a written parliamentary question does.
And, I mean, do they tend to follow or precede oral questions? Because sometimes I guess that they might be related. You know?
They can be at times. And I'm in now a unique experience where it wasn't that long ago I was in opposition and I was writing written parliamentary questions to the health minister, the Labor health minister then, Andrew Little, and then Aisha Viral, around mental health. And now as the first mental health minister, I'm answering those questions from people like Ingrid Leary, who's the opposition mental health spokesperson. And like I say, ministers, like all parliamentarians, should be held to account. And this is a way where any opposition member can write a written parliamentary question and get clarity for their spokes role, for their subject, and ultimately for New Zealanders.
Yeah. And because there's no limit on how many written questions a member can file, do some MPs use it as a nuisance value or a fishing expedition, as it were?
Yeah, well, I think every MP brings their personality to their job. I would say some are more concise than others, some are more defined as others, and some probably at times value volume over value. But in the end, that's the democratic system, because, of course, not only is a minister being judged by the answers of a written parliamentary question, but actually the opposition spokesperson has been judged by the quality of their questioning as well, and whether they're doing a good job answering the right questions.
Green Party MP Julianne Genta is another who has been a government minister before and knows about both sides of the written question process. She found the written question format generally useful either way.
I have found written questions really helpful as an opposition member, but it does depend on the attitude of the ministers and the government of the day. Obviously, my first 6 years in parliament, I was in opposition, and we could get useful information from written questions, but I think that government tried to discourage us from asking by giving us unhelpful answers a lot of the time. But every now and then, you got a really good answer. And the last 3 years when I was not a minister and it was a Labour government, we were able to get some really great information through the written questions process. What I found most interesting as a minister is sometimes I would sign off answers that would be information that I was really interested in. And it was easier to get that information from an opposition member submitting a written question than from me directly asking staff the question. So that was kind of interesting. In some ways, that process is more direct. It's quick. It can get factual information. I think it's really helpful for the public that parliamentarians have this ability to ask these questions.
And as a minister, I mean, is it very time consuming? Because obviously sometimes you get a lot of these questions coming through at once.
Yeah, it was. I mean, as a minister, I had no problem signing off answers that were useful. I did think, and of course, maybe any minister would have this attitude, but I did think at the time the opposition had a deliberate strategy of spamming us with huge numbers of questions just to slow us down. And that I didn't think was very helpful to the democratic process. But when there are good questions and useful information is produced by the agencies and the ministries and signed off by ministers, I think that's really important and helpful.
And is the six-day turnaround reasonable?
Well, a lot of times we don't get it in that time, right? I mean, they do return them late. And I'm sure that as a minister, I was guilty of signing off answers late simply because I didn't get to either the agency or the ministry took a lot of time to get the information, or we were just had heaps of other work and so didn't get to it in time. So I think it's really good that we are able to get that fast a turnaround. On the other hand, you know, because if you were to submit an OIA, you have to wait at least a month for an answer and sometimes much longer.
Yeah.
So this is a really nice, short, sharp way to get information in a concise way.
Because there's so much competition to get an oral question in, given the limited number apportioned, written questions can be an alternative way of pursuing the probing of a minister. Oral questions can be a follow-up to a written question, or vice versa. There's really no end to the possible configurations. But it's worth noting someone has to do the work around answering them. As the former Finance Minister Grant Robertson reminded MPs during the adjournment debate which wrapped up the previous Parliament last year, there were a lot of written questions during the 53rd Parliament.
There were 134,342 written questions lodged. Mr. Speaker, I think anyone who's thinking about slashing the public service might want to have a think about all of the work that goes into answering written questions and OIAs. And on that note, I want to thank the public servants who serve us when we are in government to the best of their abilities, whoever that government might be. Mr. Speaker, as you of course well know, there is a huge team of people who sit behind the operations of this place.
Among her cabinet responsibilities in the previous parliament, Jenny Anderson was the police minister, a busy portfolio, and she was very used to receiving written questions about it.
Yes, in some weeks you would have a pile of questions that would be 4 or 5 centimetres thick that you would need to go through, and you're really lucky when you are a minister, you have good support in your office, so you would have private secretaries from the department who would go and do the first lot of work, and the departments themselves, whether that be police or justice, the ministries put those answers together, and then you have the next layer, which is the political advisor will cast their eye over them as well. So several people will have been through those questions by the time they come to the minister for signing.
So they're not just a nuisance when you're a minister?
They're always interesting to understand where, when you're in government, to understand where the opposition questioning is coming from. And it's an important function of being accountable. So you need to answer them. There's no disliking it.
Nonetheless, at times the backlog of pending answers to written questions can build up. The Speaker for most of the previous term of Parliament, Trevor Mallard, at one point clamped down on the Labour-led government because of what he felt was the tardiness of ministers in responding to written questions.
It appears that written questions are not working as they were supposed to as an accountability mechanism. So I intend to award the opposition 10 additional supplementary questions each day until the end of the sitting block, or until all the questions due last year have received their final replies, whichever comes first.
But it's not just the lateness of answers that is an issue. Sometimes the answers can be decidedly unhelpful, snarky even. Julianne Genta acknowledges the danger of written questions becoming a futile process if a minister is unwilling to divulge information.
So they would try to discourage us from asking written questions by just gaming their answers, and at some point will have to complain to the Speaker if they aren't being genuine and making a real attempt to answer the question. The Speaker is the one that we would complain to, whereas if we aren't getting information we think we should be getting from the OIA process, we'd go to the Ombudsman, who's more independent from Parliament.
What makes a good written question, would you say?
I think a good written question is asking something that is a kind of straight question, factual, easy to provide the information. I mean, one of the best questions I ever asked was shortly after I was no longer a minister, and I asked a question to the Minister of Transport about what NZTA, how many projects in the State Highways Activity Class they had signed off and for what amount, and we got a really concise list, and we were able to see from that in fact they had almost $1 billion in cost overruns just on state highways alone. And so a huge amount of the transport budget, larger than what should have been, was going on state highways, and just a smaller number of state highways because the costs were escalating so fast. So, you know, if you ask something really straight and they provide you with the numbers, that is really, really useful.
If a minister is beginning to tire of approving answers to written questions, one option that can reduce the number coming in is to proactively release information. So you start to see that written questions, one way or another, help achieve the goal of open, transparent government. You've been listening to The House, a program made possible with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Kia pai tōrā.